joy to be here. We were suffering in the sunshine in 95 degrees, so I thought I'd come up and enjoy the Wisconsin weather you're having. I was thinking as I sat there, there have only been a couple of times in my life that I've had the feeling flow over me that I had today. Non-charismatic feeling. One was when I prayed, had the incredible privilege of praying at Governor Tommy Thompson's inauguration. And I will never forget that massive rotunda, several levels, filled with thousands of people, and that wonderful African-American man singing the battle hymn of the Republic. It was just amazing. And I had kind of that same feeling, and I thought to myself, by the time it was my opportunity to pray, I said, how can I do this? I can't even do it. But God gave grace, and actually it was more of a message, a sermon in prayer is what it was. And they didn't invite me back. So I don't know if Pastor Roberts will invite me back, but at least he's gone. I see Heather down here. So many memories flood, you know. Wrestling. This is 45 years ago now. And when I walked onto the campus of Maranatha, I was a mess. I mean, I still am a mess, but I got a little bit together. I'll never forget Brother Ron. What a blessing he was. And then I followed him to seminary. Out in San Francisco. He stuck it out. I got out of there, but he stuck it out, and bless his heart. That's where I was born, San Francisco, Sodom, Francisco, raised in Berserkly. My dad was a nuclear physicist at UC Berkeley, and Brother Phil, you were in that area. My two dear friends, Brother Phil wrote. I call him Dr. Phil. He's my Dr. Phil, okay? Brilliant man, brilliant mind, and you got to hear his choruses from the scriptures. Just have him back some other time. He'll do the scripture chorus. They're amazing. And then John Ruffin. God bless you. Stand up, John. God bless you. And what a miracle, a walking miracle. Milwaukee Baptist, they called us a redneck church. We went after the least, the last, and the lost. We ran those buses and vans and, scraped that ice off of there and ran up and down. We took the kids nobody wanted. And we, for over 30 years, went to the Milwaukee Rescue Mission. And one night I was there. And I don't know why I always preach kind of crazy down there. You feel you have this freedom, where you can just feel like you can just preach whatever you want. Those guys, they don't care, I'm preaching just, like a house of fire. I think those guys are just thinking, shut up. I want to go to bed, But here was this guy in the back. His name was John. He came up to me. And I don't know if you got saved that night or got right with God, but he came and he got saved or right with God and came to our church, became a deacon, and went to Maranatha, met the most precious lady, Carol Sen. Most of us know her. And what a wonderful, wonderful story, brother. And I think about those times, those formative years when we met with. It brings tears to my eyes. I'm trying to gather myself here. But when I think about the humble beginning of this place, just down the road, at the savings and loan. Still remember those days. And I hold in my hand one of the Bible studies from it. Pastor Roberts taught the Baptist distinctives. Amen. They still do that around here? Okay. All right. We still do as well. One of my men asked me the other day, do we need to teach the Baptist distinctives? I said, well, I'll bring Pastor Roberts down to do it. And there's the outline from that time. What, 43 years ago? 44, something like that. I don't know. Long time ago. Anyway. And still use it. Still use it. Bible is the sole authority for faith and practice. That's why we're biblical Baptists. And the purchasing of this property. There was nothing here. There was nothing here. Just an open field. And God called a man. And he came and planted himself. And his dear, precious wife. Wow. What God hath wrought. To hear you sing this morning. Wow. Helped him roof this. I still remember. Was anybody up there with me that day when we roofed up here? They're all gone. Yeah, you must have been up there. All right. And ever since that time, Pastor Roberts reminds me that's the only place that leaks. So, do I know him or what? Huh? Get your act together, Lawton. You know, maybe someday you'll be able to roof. You know, those were great days of fellowship, brother, up on that roof. I bring you greetings from the great Southwest. You're not in a hurry to get out of here, are you? Okay. All right. Somebody wants to leave. Okay. We've been doing this a while now. Brother Roberts and I have been doing this a while. It's probably 3 to 5 times harder to build a church down there. Everybody's casual. I see how you're dressed. And this is how I dress. That's not how they dress. I don't know if it's a cultural thing. Everybody's on vacation, right? I'll get to church. Less than 10% of the population of Tucson goes to church. That's what we deal with. Like the man who went to Africa, the shoe salesman, right? Went to Africa. They gave him Buster Brown shoes. Remember those? And he went down. And he got over there, and he had all of these cases of shoes, Brother Phil, right? And he couldn't sell. He had a bad attitude, you know? And he couldn't sell any shoes. He came back. He told the president of Buster Brown, he said, nobody wears shoes over there. Okay. Well, you tried, right? They sent another guy over there, a younger fellow. He went over, and he had cases of shoes as well. And in a short time, he ordered more, Heather. And he ordered more. He said, well, what are you doing? The other guy, he said, everybody needs shoes. Yeah. Amen? It's all about your attitude, isn't it? And I choose to embrace an attitude that God will bless us if we're faithful. And our breed is vanishing very rapidly. Independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, soul-winning, separatistic, missionary-minded, anti-new evangelical, chicken-eating Baptist church. Amen? They added that when I went down there. They said, chicken-eating pastor. Okay. Psalm 85, please. Psalm 85. I'm not sure what your expectations are. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I just dumped all my notes on the floor. That's about par, you know. So if I have my conclusion initially, you'll understand. I'm still slightly retarded. Ooh, you can't say that word. Okay. Slightly slow. A little disheveled in my brain. Psalm 85. What a privilege to preach God's precious holy word. What a privilege to serve Him. And God has blessed us wonderfully, given us a building, and we've had a TV ministry down there for 35 years. It's just been wonderful to serve the Lord. It really has. Carol sends you greetings. There's a reason why she's not here. She has to stay there to make sure they don't vote me out while I'm gone. So, not really, not really. She does kind of hold things together, though. She's doing great. I don't know if you know this, but they found out that she had Parkinson's disease. And so we went all over the country looking for the proper treatment for that. Everywhere from Michigan to Illinois, Indiana. Finally, we made the swing back to Tucson, found a Christian neurologist there. And he looked at her and said, well, why didn't they put you on carbidopa-levodopa? You know, just a basic, you know, like aspirin for a headache, you know, type thing. And I said, I looked at the guy and I was about to, you know, you get in the flesh, a flesh flash, you know. I wanted to grab him and just say, look, mister, I said, we've been all over this country. All I want is some improvement. Okay? That's all I want. I'm not asking for miracles here. The first day she took that, she found marked improvement. She's doing fantastic. She rides 35 miles on her bike. She, you know, walks the dog. She ain't coming back. She loves it there. And bless her heart. She's doing great. She's been teaching. Teaches at Desert Christian School. Taught for 37 years now. Doing a great job. So we're just having a blast serving the Lord. And but you know, sometimes our expectations are a little higher than, or whatever. A man forgot the anniversary for his wife. They've been married for quite a while, and excuse the terminology, she was a little ticked off, okay? You know, that he had forgotten the anniversary. And she finally went up to him and said, look, said, I've been married to you for all these years, and you keep forgetting. Said, if there's not something in that driveway that goes 0 to 200 in 5 seconds, he said, it's over, you know? So, well, the next day she got up, she went out to the driveway, see if he got her something. Sure enough, there was a box out there. He opened it up, she opened it up, and saw that it was a weight scale. He hasn't been found. That's the kind of thing I would do. Really stupid, you know? So, somebody asked my wife the other day, you know, she was a little short with somebody. Said to her, well, what's wrong with you? Did you wake up grumpy? She said, no, I let him sleep. So, that's kind of the way it is. Psalm 85. Did I give you long enough to get there? All right. Lord, now it's been favorable unto thy land. Amen. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins. Selah. I like those Selahs. Amen. Think about it. So we think about it for a moment. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw thine anger to all generations? Everybody? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Again, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? And God's people said, amen. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, grant us thy salvation. For I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, and let them not turn again to folly. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful once again for thy precious word. We pray that you will continue to bless the great Maquonago Baptist Church. We thank thee for Pastor Ron Roberts. We call each other Bishop, Lord. Bishop Roberts, what a blessing to know him all these years. Faithful man, faithful man. Tonda, faithful woman. May you pour out a double portion of thy spirit as I think about where they are, Father God, and where Joshua is, and where his son is, a place that knew and experienced revival in a remarkable way. We are thirsty this morning, Lord, for what thou canst do. And only what thou canst do. There's anyone here without Christ, I pray they would be saved today without delay. And may you revive thy work in the midst of the years. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm not going to offer some hermeneutical and homiletical masterpiece here. I'm going to be direct and profound, hopefully practical. I preach a certain way. Okay? I preach what I call, and I don't know anybody else that does this, I preach what I call expositopical. Okay? Expositional, you can get little, you know, you can get bogged down. So what I do is I go to a passage like this, and I want to know all the other scriptures that support that scripture. Amen? That makes sense? And that way we can remember it. How I memorize scripture is I go and I have a key scripture. Like, for instance, the deity of Christ, right? What would be, Jonathan, give me what you would say is the key verse on the deity of Christ. Let's see what he's got, okay?
John 5:7 or John 1:1.
That's a good one. That's the Trinity. Come on. Not 1 John. John 1:1, right? Okay. You're in the right ballpark. That's right. John 1:1, amen? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. So, what I do, since I'm stupid, what I do is I go to that passage and I put down, I list the verses. I have a same Bible that Brother Robert, Cambridge Wide Margin, amen? Is there any other? Okay. And some of you backsliders have a Schofield maybe or something like that. No, just kidding. But I'll list the other verses at that spot and memorize them. That's pretty simple, isn't it? That's, you know, Bible memorization for dummies like me. And so that's kind of how I preach. Expositopical. We exposit the passage. Okay. And of course, the psalmist, many times through the Psalms, David goes and pours out his heart for a nation in need. This is one of those times. He said, thou hast been favorable to thy land. Okay? They went into captivity, and now they're out. He says, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Now they backslid. Can you imagine it? They backslid. And he says, wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? And so they're beginning to experience the chastening of God. And he says, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? In case you didn't know, we're in a mess in our nation. Had a pastor preach a while back in a fellowship, said, we've never been this way before, that's for sure. We've never passed this way, have we? And to be honest with you, as someone comes into a place like this, really, this is not definitive or indicative of where we are as a nation. You are an anomaly. You're different than the world. And that's the way we ought to be. And what brought me to tears almost as I stood up here, I thought as I came down the road today, and I went by that cemetery where precious Pastor Teasdale's buried and others. And Ron's trying to get me in there. Trying to sell me a plot. What's with that anyway? Now, he was in my wedding, right? I don't mean to digress, but I got to say this. He's in my wedding. He comes out to Michigan, First Baptist Farmington. We had a wonderful, wonderful time. But he did not reciprocate. I was not in his wedding. What's with that? So he was certainly, you know, pedigree to get in my wedding. But, you know, I don't even know if he knew my name before that. So, no, really, we had a wonderful time, wonderful fellowship. We have a desperate need. If you want to fill in your notes there, a desperate need. I don't need to remind you, do I? We live in these striking prophetic times. I told the folks I was preaching a prophetic message. And one of my van kids came up to me and said, I sure am glad you're preaching a pathetic message. So I'll try not to be pathetic. This false prophet of a pope is going around bringing his one world message to the UN and to the imposter in chief. Obama hosts China's president, king of the East, right? Not only that, Russia's Putin is also in town. Now, they all have something in common. They hate Israel, and they hate you and I, Independent Fundamental Baptists. And then we have fighting on the Temple Mount. We have a blood moon. Think of that. People won't read God's word, so he says, you reject the blood of my son, I will put it in the sky for you. These are unusual days, beloved. So we have like a mighty Titanic on whose hull they have written, even God can't sink her. That's what people think about America. What a foolish thing to think, huh? And now everybody's shaking and quaking, thinking, are we going to be able to last until this next election where we can at least get somebody in there with some sort of moral fiber? And somebody who doesn't have this vicious antipathy towards all things Christian and don't have a principle of the scorched earth policy of all things Christian. Let's burn all the Christians, cut all their heads off, shut down their churches and their schools. Think of it. God's beginning to judge this great land. We see it, don't we? We know better. We know that this country can sink. It's already sunk into the depths of sin, has it not? And now we're beginning to see that judgment. I want to challenge every one of you. I left some devotionals out there. And one of the devotionals I wrote is Revival for Survival. And last year, in December of last year, is that right? you know, maybe October, November. I got a, I don't know if it was in the mail or an email, and there was a statement in there regarding immoral diseases across this country from the Center for Disease Control. I read something I couldn't believe. Some 2008, some 110 million people in this country had an STD, some sort of a wicked, filthy disease. 20 million new cases a year, do the math. And I began to realize that means if my math's right, I'm not very smart, over 50% of teens and adults are walking around with some sort of wicked, immoral disease. That's where we are. You can read it for yourself. You can go to the CDC website and find it out for yourself. Please correct me if I'm wrong. But I couldn't process this. I couldn't process how bad it was. And I thought to myself, I took comfort many times to myself, and I said, well, we're not as bad as Sodom, right? And then I began to think and remember my mentor's words, Leonard Ravenhill. He actually wrote a book on it. You know what the book was? Sodom, Brother Phil, had no Bible. Sodom had no Bible. Sodom had no churches. Sodom had no hymnals. Sodom had no broadcast, telecast. And what do we have? We have all of these things. And yet we are more wicked than Sodom ever was. How has this happened? How can this be that the head of the Senate, Mr. McConnell, would cave on defunding this wicked, wicked Planned Parenthood that seems to think it's just fine to murder babies, harvest them, and sell their organs? Now, that's pretty, you know, wouldn't you think maybe we shouldn't fund that? How many think we shouldn't fund that? Amen? What kind of cave is that? Is he just in Obama's back pocket? And we can sit here and we can wring our hands to the point where we want to die. Am I right? Heaven's looking better all the time. Amen? Boy, I can't wait till the millennium, Heather. Amen. All this wickedness. The taverns. And I was talking to a man the other day. He'd been single for so many times. He's just an old friend. And he started a company that prints church newspapers. And I was talking to him. He said, yeah, I met a lady online. And the guy's lost, okay? And he met a lady online, which is really stupid. And he said, yeah, we met at the park and took a walk, you know. I thought, okay, well. He said, we decided we'll start seeing each other. I thought, okay. He said, come to find out, she would only kind of date me, like, want to go out once a week, you know. And I thought, okay. He said, you know what I found out? I said, I have no idea. What did you find out? Said, she is addicted to medical marijuana. She had a condition. She worked for a Kodak company. This is not some floozy, okay? This was a lady who was, you know, decent and has a nice house. But she bought this wicked, deceptive idea that, well, you know, medical marijuana, boy, that's, you know, that's a legitimate use, you know. And I'm not saying there's no part of that stuff that you can use. But she was addicted to it and it destroyed her life. Think of it. Beware. So I always took solace in the idea that, you know, we're not as bad as Sodom. No, we're worse. I don't think in Sodom they had people changing their gender. Do you? I mean, this is where we are. And we get it thrown at us all the time. I found a wonderful verse to be a comfort to you. 2 Corinthians 6:10. Write it down. 2 Corinthians 6:10. Okay? And that will give you a balance. And you know what that balance is? 2 Corinthians 6:10. Somebody read it. Do you have it? What does it say there? Anybody? What were the first words, Brother John? That's how you're going to keep your sanity. Amen? We got enough to be sorrowful about. We got enough, you know, you got to laugh, cry, or kill somebody, right? Or laugh and, or pray. Amen? And so we have all of this sorrow upon sorrow in some of your personal lives. But I'm here to tell you something. With all of the terrible things that are going on, there's still a God in heaven. Did you know that? And I had a lady come up to me. She actually was a one of the engineers for us down at Access Tucson. And that precious lady, all of the time she heard the gospel, we prayed for her. And she said she was an atheist. I said, "You're not an atheist." "Yeah, I am." So she said, I'm going to a Buddhist group a few blocks from your house. Would you like to join us?" I said, "I think I'll pass." She said, "Well, if you won't come," she said, "I'll say a few chants for you." Isn't that great? I said, "Let me tell you something, Deborah." I said, "Buddha didn't die on the cross for my sins." Buddha, like Brother Phil, to quote a great preacher, Buddha doesn't love you. Muhammad doesn't love you. Confucius doesn't love you. Jesus loves you. He's the one who died on the cross for my sins. What's the difference? We have a Bible that's truly inspired. Amen. We have a triune God. We have a heavenly Father who loves us. He knows my name. He knows the number of hairs on my head, which is not a big job for him. This bushy, thick head of hair, you know. He knows my needs. He's my heavenly Father. I talk to him every day. I have a Savior who died for me and was buried and rose again. I have a Holy Spirit who indwells us and comforts me and empowers me. So grateful for the God I have. Let me just share. You can write a few of these things down. We have a miraculous virgin birth. Amen. We have an amazing grace that transforms. We have a heavenly place we're going to and we're going to live forever. We have a divine fellowship the world knows nothing about. We have a purpose, a plan, and a will for our lives that transcends this world. We have a commission given to us by Christ. A man came up to me a while back, a Christian man. He says, "I work on commission." I said, "Well, that's good." And then he said, "The Great Commission." Amen? You work on commission? The Great Commission. We got a commission, folks. A life-changing gospel. We have local, independent New Testament churches, which are Christ's body, local church ecclesiology. Amen? We have a love that's immeasurable. We have an unspeakable joy that the world knows nothing about. We can be joyful in a time of national declension, decline, deterioration, and wickedness that you and I, we blush to even think about. And you can focus on that. Or you can, as I always said, keep looking up. Keep your eyes on the eastern sky, because our Lord Jesus is coming very soon. Did you read it? Did you get it over there in Zephaniah? Those of you who are skilled with your Bibles, just go over there real quickly. I want you to see something that you passed over that maybe you didn't get. The great day of the Lord is near. Did you get that? It's coming. Zephaniah 1:14. Let's read it again together. Zephaniah 1:14. Everyone? The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. Okay? Did you see? Now, did you get the truth there? I'm going to tell you what the truth is that really is striking. It really is striking. And the truth is this, that it hasteth greatly. That we live in this time warp. We live in a time when time is so moving so swiftly and so quickly. And so many things are happening simultaneously. That we can't even process it. Am I right? Wow, what's happening over here? Oh, whoa, what's happening? Oh, whoa. This is what's happening in the White House. In the Black House, whatever you want to call it. This is what's happening in Congress. This is what's happening over... Wow, did you see this hurricane over there? Did you see this earthquake over there? Jesus said it would be that way in Matthew 24, didn't he? No. And all of these things are happening simultaneously. Like we got this overload going on. We need to keep our eyes on Christ. But I tell you this because... we're in a crisis. It hasteth greatly. Daniel 12. We all know that. Those seasoned Christians, right? Many shall run to and fro. Knowledge shall be increased. Literally explode. To the point where... and that's, you know, that's Satan's plan, you see. Is to overload us so much that our spiritual and mental circuit breakers, you know, tilt out. And we can't even function. Because it's just too much for us. I'm here to tell you something. Let's go to Psalm 138 quickly. Psalm 138. I'm going to move fast now. The only answer, number two. Psalm 185, verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice? Psalm 138. What does it say? Verse 5, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Oh, this may be the most important verse that you and I need for today. Verse 7, everybody, here we go. In unison together, here we go, ready? Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Back to verse 7. Again, that first statement. Everyone, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. And God's people said, amen. I'm going to tell you where revival starts. Revival starts with one person. Did you hear me? I'm talking to you guys in the back, in the booth back there. One person! That's what it takes. Here's a card for our church. I don't know if Pastor Roberts would say this. Compromise. You're not passing out tracts. You need a tract, right? He's probably right. But we got these cards. And I'll tell you something. When I hand out that card, I say,
here's my card.
I've never had anybody refuse it yet. And I told my people, write your name on the front and say, here's my card. It's magic. You'll see on our services, we've added something that I've never seen ever in any independent fundamental Baptist church. We have Sunday school for all ages at 10 o'clock. We have morning worship at 11. We have an evening service at 6. We have Wednesday Bible study and prayer at 7. And then on Friday, we cancel everything else. We don't have youth activities. We don't have really much fellowship meals. I'll tell you what we have. We started revival prayer meeting. We're not packing them out with it. But I'll tell you what. We had 12 there last Friday.
Amen.
And those 12, Jesus changed the world with 12. Amen. Now, I want to challenge Mequonago Baptist Church. I hope Pastor Roberts will see this. I'm challenging you to dedicate a time, I don't care when it is, where nothing else is done, just prayer. And focus prayer on one thing, revive me and revive our church, revive our families. And we are seeing some amazing things happen. And we're not a big church. But I mean, every Sunday, 10 to 12 visitors, he came down. 10 to 12 visitors, just walking in now. Last Sunday when I preached, I was in the last point, and all of a sudden, the door opened, and a man came in weeping. He came in weeping, and came down and just wept at the altar. And everyone in the church began to weep with him. We don't just sing in harmony, we wept in harmony. If you can't weep over the broken, disgusting deterioration of this country, there's something wrong with you. If your heart isn't broken, I'm saying it starts with one person. It doesn't start. R.A. Torrey said, if you want to have a revival, put a circle in the sand, said step inside and ask God to send revival in that circle. God needs to wake us up. I'm so thankful. And so we've seen just strange, incredible, some wonderful things like that happen. We're on a real busy street, you know. And we'll go out there and just with tracks. Hundreds of people come by. I didn't ask to go there. I didn't want to go there. God picked me up and said, this is where I want you. And it's been wonderful to see what he can do. And so the progression of revival says, Noah says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, there's trouble all around us. You know, it's like the center of that tornado, amen? And you and I are in the center of this moral, economic, spiritual tornado around us. And Satan's having his heyday, isn't he? Satan's just having his time. Say, well, is God in control? I think God's just allowing him, giving him for a season. His day's coming, amen? We're going to see him thrown into that lake of fire. But boy, he's having a heyday right now. Prince of the power of the air. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, guess what? So we got, over here we got trouble. Troubles! All kinds of troubles! Personal troubles, family troubles, emotional. Don't you yearn for the day when people were emotionally mature? They don't have a short fuse. And they don't fall apart at every little thing. Toughen up, folks. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Because it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. Notice it says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt, what? Revive me. That's the key right there. It's personal. So we're going to have trouble. And I just want to share this little thought with you, okay? If I could. And that is this. Some people think, have you ever had somebody say to you, God will never give you more than you're able to bear? How many ever heard that? Amen? Yeah, I've heard that. That goes along with a lot of other unscriptural sayings. Okay? It's a misunderstanding, a misapplication, a misinterpretation of 1 Corinthians 10:13. Right? There is no what? Temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God will with the temptation make a way to escape that you what? May be able to bear it. What's he talking about there, Brother Phil? He's not talking about trials. He's not talking about adversities. He's saying you don't have to sin. Amen? Right. You don't have to sin. You don't have to yield to that temptation. There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Nobody in this church needs to sin. Nobody in this church ought to sin. But I'm going to tell you something. That ain't got nothing to do with adversity university. That has nothing to do with the trials you and I are going to go through. I guarantee you, you are going to have trials greater than you can bear. But let me give you another thought. You're never going to have a trial greater than God can bear. So, when he says here, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you're going to have trials, you're going to have burdens, you're going to have heartaches, you're going to have problems that are bigger than your little pea brain can handle and your little pea body can handle. Amen? Go ask Moses. You think it was easy for him? Go try David. How about David? How's it going, buddy? Oh, I'm about to be melted like water. How's it going, Paul? Well, I'll tell you what. I had a burden so bad that I despaired of life itself. That's what he said. Didn't he say that? He despaired of life itself. But God in heaven, there's no burden, there's no adversity that I will have that you can't bear. Let me give you another thought. Isaiah 53, quickly. So what did we just learn? You're going to have trials and burdens and heartaches that you can't handle. But you're not going to have any trial. You're not going to have, Brother John, you're not going to have an adversity or a trial that God can't handle. Oh, that... When I learned that, that was rich to me. And so when these foolish, worldly, carnal, unsaved, well, God will never give you more than you can bear. Listen, I don't need God. I get enough of that from the world. I get it from the devil. I give it from my own flesh. I can't handle these things. That's what God's for. That's what the Bible's for. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. I want to give you something. We sang it. We sang it in one of those songs today. Number one, easy to find. It jumped out at me. I think that's it. Maybe not. Isaiah 53. I'm going to show you something you never saw in Isaiah 53. You know why? Because when we get to Isaiah 53, we kind of cringe away because it's kind of, wow, it's heavy, right? Isaiah 53 is heavy, right? Are you with me? It's heavy. And it's heavy in a negative way, right? And so we kind of go over this kind of fast so we can get to the good news. Well, I got some good news for you. Something in your water here wrecks my throat. Isaiah 53. Verse 2, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Let's read verse 3 out loud together. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. What does that say? Let's look at it again. He's despised and rejected of men. And then what does it say after that? Again, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Well, who wants to be around that? Right? So we kind of move on. Okay, you know, sorrows and grief. Okay. Verse 4. So if you missed it in the third verse, he gives it to you again. In the fourth verse. Oh, this is precious. You're going to have something to just go home and chew on. Everybody, verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Okay, let's see what's happened here. I want you to see this. did you ever get smacked over the head by a 2x4 from God sometime? A man of sorrows acquainted with grief. Okay. How many people have had sorrow in their life? How many have grief in their life? Okay. And yet, what do we do? I'm going to tell you something, and I hope Brother Roberts doesn't call me an apostate for this. I don't think he will. Jesus didn't just die for your sins. He did that. Amen. You with me? Got quiet in here, Brother Phil. A man of what? Sorrows. And acquainted with what? Griefs. Okay. And what was our response to that? What was our response to that? We what? Hid. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. So here's the one. He bore our sorrows. Now, verse 4, everybody. What's the most important word in verse 4? Anybody? Thank you. Surely. Amen. That's a good word, isn't it? That's a great word. Surely. You know what? God doesn't use that very often. Back in the Garden of Eden, what did he say to Adam and Eve? In the day that thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt what? Surely die. Did they? They sure did. They ain't around. The process of dissolution began at that point. Surely blessing I will bless thee. And then in Revelation, the Lord Jesus said, what? Surely I come quickly. Everybody, even so come Lord Jesus. What are you laughing at? Boy's laughing at me. That sure is a weird preacher. Ain't never heard nobody preach like that. Surely he preacheth weird. Surely. Now I want you to see this. This is good stuff. This will get you through that rough patch. Amen. Surely he hath what? Borne what? Our griefs. And what? Carried our sorrows. How many rejoice in that? Amen. He didn't just die on the cross for my sins. Yes, he did that. And that's what he did primarily. But I want to tell you something. He bore my griefs and he carried my sorrows. That's why when he came and he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The problem is we're carrying those sorrows and we're carrying those griefs ourselves when Jesus already what? Bore them. Ain't that good?
Amen.
When you come, I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I've had so many sorrows and so many griefs that have shattered my heart. This man of God who takes a stand, I've seen him brokenhearted. He's a tough guy. He's tougher than I am. But you can't pastor in this day, in this age, without having a broken heart. You pour your life into people and think, hey man, things are going great. All of a sudden, hey, where's Brother Jones? Where's he didn't show up today. And Brother Jones never comes back. And you're heartbroken. Jesus carried that sorrow. He bore that sorrow. He carried that grief. And yet what do we do? Verse 4, what does it say? We hid our faces from him. And in verse 4, surely he had borne our griefs and our sorrows, yet we did esteem him, what? Stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Wow. And so, what I'm trying to say is, surely he hath borne our griefs, surely he hath carried our sorrows, but guess what? When we have grief and we have sorrow, what do? We carry it ourselves. And we what? Oh, let's see what it says. We hide from him, right? Let's see what else. We esteem him stricken, smitten of God. So, really, that's okay, Jesus. I'll take it myself. I'll hang in there. Oh, no. Jesus says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, right? Roll. It's so heavy you can't. You got to roll it on the Lord, right? So put it there. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. And that's the answer. That's my first point, Brother Jonathan. And we got to get out of here. I wrote a little poem. Where's the fire? Where's the fire? The fervor, the passion, the power of God, not after the world's fashion. The presence of God who is consuming fire. Where, oh where, is that holy desire? Where's the oil? The renewing from above, the anointing that brings God's holy love, the oil that allows the church to function. Oh, let us pray for the heavenly unction. Where is the water that quenches true soul thirst? The one from the Word that comes from Christ first. A baptism from heaven, oh, that's what we need. The showers of blessing for those we plead. Where's the wind, the fresh breath of God, for those who preach and walk on earth's sod? Oh, breathe on us, Father, with thy spirit of power. Fill us, we pray, for this desperate hour. I pray that McGuanago Baptist Church will know a heaven-sent, hell-shaking, sin-destroying, Christ-exalting, Holy Ghost revival from God. Your pastor is in a place right now. There was a time in that little country of Wales where God's people met and people could see a fire above those buildings showing the presence of God. Did you see those buildings your brother was trying to get into that are standing empty now? Ichabod! Ichabod! God help us. Surely. Wilt thou not revive us again? And in verse number 3, Habakkuk 3:2, revive thy work. Amen. In wrath, remember mercy. And then number 4, the state and the nation. But it starts with one. It starts with a William Carey. It starts with a Charles J. Finney. It starts with one person. Is there somebody in here who will say, you know what, I'll get on fire for God. You know what, I'd be willing to come to that prayer meeting specifically to pray for revival. In my life, in my family's life, in my spouse's life, in my children's life, in my church's life. Like a laser beam. We need to pray and cry out to God that God would send us an awakening, a moving, a stirring, a shaking before He takes us. Brother Ravenhill said, Brother Cliff, he said, I still believe God is going to send a moving of His Spirit before He comes. I hope he's right. Say, and I know what you're thinking. I see your faces. I can't see revival today. Every time revival came, it came in a terrible, awful, wicked time. Those two little ladies up in Barvis on the island of Leyte, just north of Scotland there in the Hebrides, those two ladies couldn't even come to church. You know that? One was blind and one had arthritic so bad that they couldn't even get out of their house. They turned their cottage into a little revival prayer meeting every day. And they said, Duncan Campbell, we're going to ask Duncan Campbell to come and preach. And we're going to see revival. Duncan Campbell said, I can't come. I've got a big meeting. I'm not coming out to Barnabas. And those little ladies said, he will be here within a fortnight. Well, guess what? He got a cancellation. He was there in a fortnight. And I want to tell you something. Revival came, folks. And that wasn't that long ago. 50 years ago. Those ladies were so burdened because the young people weren't responding to the Word of God. People weren't attending church. And you can go to Barnabas today. You can go to that church. And I mean, people were storming the police station because there was a godly policeman there. It was part of a little video I want to show, but I'm saying that God can do it. When Whitfield preached, every third house had a distillery in it in England. They were burdened and brokenhearted. If we can get enough people burdened and brokenhearted, we can see a movement in this country. We can see something happen that's special. Just let it start right here. Let it start right here. The fingers that weave the rainbow into a scarf and wrapped it around the shoulders of a dying storm. The fingers that painted the lily bell and threw out the planets. The fingers that were dipped in the mighty sea of eternity and shook out on this old planet, making the ocean to drop and the rivers to stream. The same fingers can take hold onto these tangled lives and make them whole again. For He came to make the crooked straight, the rough places plain. Blessed be God. Jesus can do for Matthew what nobody else can. He can do for you, my brother, what your friends can. He can take the desire for a drink out of you. He can cure the love of gambling that is eating the soul out of you. He can put out the fires of lust that are burning in your being and consuming you by inches. He can take the devil of lying out of you, the devil of cheating out of you, of fraud out of you, of hypocrisy out of you. Jesus can do what nobody else can. The preacher cannot, the church cannot, but the Lord Jesus, who loves you, is mighty to save. I wish I wrote that. Gypsy Smith did a better job. I share this and I'm done. I had something here, yeah. This man said this. My dear mother had been a godly, pious woman. We can stand now. Stand with me. I'm done. Can you turn this up? Turn this up a little bit. My dear mother had been a godly, pious woman, quite often telling me of the Savior. And many times I had been witness to her wrestling in prayer for my soul's salvation. But nothing had made a deep impression on me. The older I grew, the more wicked I became. One day, a seriously injured laborer was brought into the hospital. He was a doctor. The case was hopeless. He seemed to realize his condition, for he was fully conscious. and asked me how long he would last. I gave him my opinion in as cautious a manner as I could. Have you any relatives we could identify or notify? He said. I said. The patient shook his head. He said his only wish was to see his landlady because he owed her a small sum for his rent and also wished to bid her farewell. He also requested his landlady bring him and send him the book. Amen. The book. Okay. So I went to see him on my regular visits, at least once a day. What struck me most was the quiet, almost happy expression constantly on his face. It upset me. After the man died, some things about the deceased affairs were to be attended in my presence. What shall we do with these? Asked the nurse, holding up a book in her hand. What kind of book is it? Well, it's the Bible of the poor man. As long as he was able to read it, he did so. And when he was unable to do so anymore, he kept it under his bed cover. I took the Bible. Could I trust my eyes? It was my own Bible. Yeah, the guy who came in, the poor laborer who died, had a Bible that was his at one time. Good night. The Bible which my mother had given me when I left my parents' home, and which later, when, shamefully to say, short of money, I sold for a small amount. My name was still in it, written in my mother's hand. With a deep sense of shame, I looked upon it, the precious book. It had given comfort and refreshing to the unfortunate man in his last hours. It had been a guide to him unto eternal life, so that he had been enabled to die in peace and happiness. And this book, the last gift of my mother, I had actually sold for a ridiculous price. Be it sufficient to say that the regained possession of my Bible was the cause of my complete conversion to Christ. That's what God can do. God brought that Bible back to that wicked man and see him saved. That's what my God can do. I had a birthday recently. Oh, that's not the end of it. That was Dr. William P. McKay. And you know what words he wrote? These are the words he wrote. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love. For Jesus, who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. That's what God can do. I was kind of hungry the other day, so I went over to Subway. You go to Subway? How many go to Subway? Nobody goes to Subway. Okay. So I walked in there. And I saw this man, and he had a little uniform on, electrician, I think it was. And he had his boy, a little boy named Billy, with him. And I could see he was kind of counting up, you know, in Tucson, we got all of these people that just barely getting by. Just, you know. And I could see this guy, he had, you know, he had been working that day. I got my sandwich, and I started talking to the kid. I said, I bet I know what kind of sandwich you like. You don't know what kind I like, mister. I said, I know what kind you like. I said, you like meatball marinara. How did you know, he said. Just a guess, you know. He got meatball marinara. Dad got Subway Club, I think. I got down in, and the Holy Spirit told me to do this, Heather. Now, I don't normally do this. I'm pinching my pennies, amen. I got a poke from the Holy Spirit. You need to pay for their meal. I said, I don't want to. You need to pay for their meal. Okay, Lord. Whatever you say, you're the boss. So I put my money down. And I said, I'm going to pay for theirs too. And the guy got over there. So, you paid for my meal, mister? Yeah. I pulled out one of these cards. I handed it to him. Thank God. He said, nobody's ever done that for me. And he began to weep. Everybody's kind of scrabbling for the last few dollars down there, you know. Little did I know. Now, what my boy does, Paul. Some of you know Paul. Precious kid. He sends me a funny card and he sends me a spiritual card. So this was my funny card. You know, Yosemite Sam, right? You're not old. What does it say? You're just grown up. Okay. Now, this is overtime, I know. And you're docking me, I know. But I want to tell you something that was inside that card that I didn't. It was on the counter. And I opened it up. And it cost me about, what was it? $13.25. Inside that card. Ain't God good? Amen. $15. I even had enough, Brother Ernie, for a tithe. Amen. Now, God knew that that was on the counter, right? That's my God. Revive us again. Let's pray. Father, we thank Thee for Your love, Your grace, and Your mercy. It sure is good to be in this place. I went a little bit over. Maybe I went a lot over. I don't know when they get out of here. It's been so good to rekindle that sweet fellowship that we've had over these years. We need revival in this country, Lord. Start it. I pray that You'll raise up somebody, yea, many somebodies in this church that will cry out to You for revival, fast and pray and get a hold of You, Lord, until You come down with reviving, shaking power that will change not only this church. I pray that You will bring revival to all of Maquonago, and that this state, this nation will hear about Maquonago and what You started today for Your glory. In Jesus' name.